back. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing on this crisp fall morning?
I know. Everyone's wearing a jacket except me. I'm going, it felt pretty good. Good morning, everybody. I'm excited today because we've been waiting for this day to come so that we could inform our listeners about something very spooky. Very scary. Things you should be frightened about.
We don't often use scare tactics, but when we do, we mean it.
Yes.
So this is going to be talking with Ron Shalott about just several things, but this is one that if you have someone who's dealing with power of attorney, dealing with several different topics, you're going to want to tell them about it. And you could also send them the podcast of this. You can go to the iHeartMedia app or anywhere that you can subscribe to a podcast. Just type in Becky Ivins or Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and it'll pop up. Hit subscribe. You can send it right to. It's a great one for that.
Okay. So, Ron, the topic today are things that you should be frightened of.
Should be a little scared about, yes.
Okay.
We do this about every year.
Yes.
We get to the back end of the year. A lot of new laws go into effect on November 1 of every year. And we talk about things that have changed, whether it's a new case that came out or a new law that goes into effect. Well, this year we have a new law going into effect. It's a major new law as far as estate planning lawyers are concerned. It's a new durable power of attorney going into effect under the Uniform Power of Attorney Act. It's totally new. It completely replaces the old act. It not just doesn't modify it. It entirely replaces it. The old act was in effect first in 1988. And I remember when that came into effect. That was really great that we had an act that we could look to and would tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do and what we could do. But these are some significant changes. So that could be frightening because some of the changes are important with regards to what you can do and what you can't do with a power of attorney and how you do them.
Now, this one, you know, I think about, like, how to describe this, what's an analogy for it, and I think about painting something. Okay, this is not a little trim brush that you could paint something with. It's not really even a big brush or a roller like you would paint with a roller. This is a little bit more like a power sprayer. It covers everybody, right?
Yes, it takes effect on November 1 of this year. It does not invalidate any power of attorney you have in effect as of October 31 of this year. So anything you've got into effect will remain in effect, won't be invalidated by this. However, this will change the way we do powers of attorney, the way we sign them, who can sign them, the impact of them, and we have now a form, or will have a form, that we will have to utilize for a power of attorney. Usually, lawyers have created their own kind of forms, whether they borrowed them from somebody else or just made their own, and I've made my own since the 1980s when that first came out, and been utilizing that form, and I've modified it a little bit here, a little bit there. There are some things that were not in the act that needed to be included in a power of attorney. So I've been doing that over the years. Now we're going to have a form that is going to be completely different than what I've used before, and the form is actually part of the statute. It's a 5-page form. When I've typed it out, actually be a little bit longer because of other things you can include.
Well, how could one form fit everybody?
Well, it's a very generic form. So it tells you what the act is about, what the person that you appoint as your agent can do, can't do. It gets into identification of the agent, and it has a checklist as to what you want to empower the agent to do or not to do. You might remember about 3 years ago, I think it was, we had an Oklahoma case we were talking about. And I'm sure your listeners will remember this, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure. But we had a case where it actually talked about there were different powers of attorney in Oklahoma, and there were two that they specifically referenced, the Durable Power of Attorney Act that we've got right now until the end of this month. And then there was also a Power of Attorney Act in the contracts section of the law. And you may remember that a little bit, because that was interesting, because that had to do with contracts. For example, like your real estate contracts, sometimes you want to empower somebody to sign on that. I know if people have like a timeshare in Florida and they want to get rid of that, they have to sign a power of attorney so somebody in Florida can sign their name for them. Those kind of contractual obligations that we sometimes empower somebody to do. So there has been a Power of Attorney Act in the contract section, and that's still there. That's not changed, but it is a checkbox form, basically. There's a form available with a lot of boxes that you check as to what you want to allow your agent to do or not to do. And this actually takes that form and expands it a little bit, but uses it under the Durable Power of Attorney Act in the probate section. So it's a little bit of redundancy in a way. Yet it's not something that's completely foreign, but yet it's foreign to the extent that it changes what we've done before.
If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. Now, we're talking with Ron Shalhoub. Now, Ron, every power of attorney is still in place, still active, but is there cases that they need to update to the new?
Well, the update has some good things with it. There are some positive benefits to it. There are other things that I look at and I wonder why you did that as a legislature, and how come you didn't include certain things that I thought would be pretty standard in including. For example, one thing that I put in my powers of attorney that are not in a generic form are things about passwords, cell phones, electronic banking, things like that. And I specifically put it in there because companies that are social media companies won't let you get into the social media site unless you got the password or you have a specific power of attorney that authorizes you to get into that media site. So I've put that in my power of attorney. The new act doesn't really address that, and I thought it would.
Well, so, you would think if it were updated, it would, right?
You would think they would have taken that more into account, but it is something that you can put in there, but it's not in the checkbox.
So you can amend or make an addendum to that form, that five-page form?
What the form has, in addition to the checkboxes, are special instructions, and it's optional. And on the form, it's four lines, but in my usage, it's probably going to be a good page.
Right, because everybody's different, right? Boy, the interesting subject and something that you should be scared about.
When we come back, we'll be talking about more scary things you need to watch out for and changes in the law on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with attorney Ron Shalhoub. He is our attorney. He is our man when we are deep in the weeds and needing some way out of going, help me, Ron. Help me, Ron.
Hey, I tell you, is it creepy, right? What are some of the other significant changes in the law that we're about to see on November 1st?
Well, there's a whole laundry list of them, and I'll just run through a few of them because we don't have time, even in this hour program, to get through even most of them. You have different things such as the designation of the agent, your successor agents. They're more identified now with name, address, telephone number. That's different. The new act only requires that you sign it in front of a notary. You used to have two witnesses, and a notary. And now it's just going to be a notary, no two witnesses. The new form is more complicated. And Becky's got a sample of that form in front of her, and that's just the draft form. It's 5 pages, and mine's probably going to go up to 7 pages by the time I add all the special instructions in. It has a lot of inclusions and exclusions specifically in the form, and there's an option for additional instructions. The biggest change, though, in this law is that it specifically excludes a power to make health care decisions. In other words, the health care power of attorney is no longer in this act, and it was in the prior act. So this has really got us confused as to how this is going to work, since the new act completely replaces the old act. The old act is repealed. It'll be gone as of November 1. So the new act does not allow this to be used for health care power of attorney. It's specifically excluded. And that can be a significant issue with regards to individuals who are incapacitated or become incapacitated.
Talk about scary.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that?
Well, there's a lot of...
you need medical power of attorney in circumstances.
There's a lot of discussion about what to do. Some are thinking, well, we'll just continue to use our prior forms until a court tells us that we can't. There is a feeling that the legislature will modify this law and add it back in, but that won't be until 2022 when they come back in session. But you can use the Oklahoma Advanced Directive for Healthcare Planning that's put out by the Medical Association, the Bar Association. It's that form for a terminal condition, persistently unconscious, end-of-life stage person. But in the back end of that, you can appoint a healthcare proxy, except it is limited. It says, I'm no longer to make decisions regarding my medical treatment, and my healthcare proxy is authorized to make whatever medical treatment decisions. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean dental decisions? Does that mean psychiatric, psychological decisions? Does that mean decisions about going into a nursing home, assisted living care? Does that mean surgeries? What does that mean, and how will that be applied if we have to use that as your health care power of attorney? And that is a significant, scary issue as far as I'm concerned, because for me, it's a matter of, should I say, speculation?
Well, I will tell you, the theme of the show being scary things, that's pretty scary. Do we just muddle our way through until the court makes a decision on it?
Until the court either says that those are not allowed no matter what you do, or until it is modified by the legislature and brought back in as a different form or as part of this form. So that is really an issue. And theoretically, you can't even put it in the specific instructions in this form because the law says that this act applies to all powers of attorney except, number two, a power to make health care decisions. So that's specifically accepted out of this law. And so that's an interesting change. I don't know why we are going to have a discussion at the end of this month in our State Planning Probate and Trust Committee about it. Maybe I'll find out why then, but I have yet to hear. Also, to determine incapacities changes significantly. The old law required your regular physician or two other Oklahoma licensed physicians. The new law says a person that you nominate to decide. So you can pick somebody like Becky. You can pick Bark to say you're incapacitated, or an alternative is one physician or a licensed psychologist. That's new. Then that's not bad. Or, this is the really scary one, a judge. That's not scary because judges can do that kind of thing. But how about an attorney?
An attorney can make a decision whether or not you're competent?
That's what this says. Or a governmental official. An appropriate governmental official is what's in here. So...
what's an appropriate government official?
In our current society, the ad is extremely divided.
No
so
kidding.
don't let Mr. Biden decide if I'm incapacitated, okay?
Well, it's something that we're going to have to look at. And the problem with these significant changes to completely redo things and use language we've not seen before, you can go to other decisions, because this is a uniform act from other states. You can go to other states, see what they did, although some of those might have different decisions left or right or up or down or whatever. The problem is that now we're going to look at this and go, what does this mean? And how do we apply this in Oklahoma? In Oklahoma in 2021, 2022. So it is a difficulty. It causes us consternation to try to figure out, well, we had a law that was been around since, you know, 88, since last century, and was doing fine. So it really caught me by surprise, and I think it caught a lot of people by surprise as to what it can do. And the new Power of Attorney Act, it goes into, if you sign one of these, it goes into effect immediately unless you say otherwise. The old act was, it went into effect if you become incapacitated, unless you say otherwise. You could make it become immediate, but you had to specifically say it. This one defaults to, it's assumed it's immediate. So it's, again, a different philosophy, a different point of view.
Well, Ron, that's real clumsy. If I were advising the legislature on this, I would have said, while I am not incapacitated today, I want to make a decision that when I become incapacitated, that people can start signing deeds for me and selling property and the stocks and bonds and, you know, claims of litigation and stuff like that. But I don't want that to happen tomorrow.
You can make that exception in the special instructions. You can modify it to go back to the other way. But you have to do that intentionally. And that's one of the big problems I'm seeing, is that I look through this form, and I said it's a five-page form with a lot of words in it as to what an agent can do, can't do, what you empower them to do, not to do, the special instructions you have to add into these things to do what my form has been doing for the last 20 years. So when you look at all of that, you're thinking, this is going to take a lot more time. So if Mark and I sit down and Mark says, okay, I want to do a power of attorney, I go, well, here's the form, except it's not so easy. You've got such things as, okay, you authorize him to deal with tangible personal property. Well, what do you think the first question is going to be?
What's tangible?
What's tangible? What's personal property? We've had that question come up right here. You know, so.
Right.
So, you know, you're going through that and you go, okay, tangible personal property, stocks and bonds, commodities and options. And again, this is a similar form to what's in the contract form. But if somebody is just getting this form from wherever, off the internet, et cetera, and trying to do this themselves, it's going to be a challenge. And the other fear is that who can sign a power of attorney form? Of course, the individual, Becky, you can sign the power of attorney form, or you can authorize someone else to sign your power of attorney form for you in front of a notary.
Yeah. So
well,
there's a lot to talk about on this.
NMLS number 196-895.
Time to talk to our money man, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, making it not scary to buy or refinance your home. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, you've had a change in kind of the way, was it Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae in the limits that you're able to loan? Is that correct?
Yeah, and Mark, it's a big deal. So, you know, roll the clock back really forever. But in the last two or three years, you know, it was a maximum conforming loan amount, which separates what separates conforming and non-conforming, which is considered a jumbo product. I mean, there's a dollar amount. So if it's up until now was $548,250. Was a loan that was conforming maximum dollar amount that could be sold in the secondary market that fell in line with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, maximum conforming loan amount. So it's typically in November, December. We see the loan amounts for the upcoming year roll into play or be announced from Fannie Freddie and FHA. And it was about 2 weeks ago, two Fridays ago, the announcement for literally loans effective now going into 2022, the maximum conforming loan amount is $625,000. So it really puts it raises that bar, as because there's always been a quarter to a half a point difference in interest rate from a conforming loan amount to a non-conforming loan amount.
Amazing.
So what it's doing, it's
amazing.
A big number.
That's great stuff, Dean. If you want to call Dean Riddell, SWBC, 405-858-770. We'll be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
Thanks, Dean.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking with Ron Shalott, our attorney at law, and we're talking about spooky things that are happening. And if you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites. It's right there, right at the top.
I'll tell you what, if you live in Norman, hail damage this last week. So give Robbins Roofing a call, because they will come out and check your property for free and tell you whether or not they think you've got an insurance claim to file. You don't want to file an insurance claim if there is not enough damage to collect a check on it, right?
Yeah.
Because then it just shows that you've had an insurance claim. Then your rates go up if you have too many insurance claims. So call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is attorney. Ron, you happen to be an attorney, but I have signed my name as an attorney before, and I didn't go to law school.
And we have the Uniform Power of Attorney Act. Does that mean only attorneys get empowered? No, that's not the way it is. It actually comes from Old French, an old French verb, attourner, which in the Old French was to transfer, right? To transfer. So an attorney is someone to whom you transfer authority. Whether it's transferring authority to transact business, which is the power of attorney that we're talking about, someone signs for another person with authorization, or to represent somebody in legal matters, such as before court or with some type of legal issue. That's what an attorney really is. That's different than the word lawyer. Lawyer is a different word than attorney. So attorney is really just someone who represents another person. It's kind of like an agent.
Yeah, so like when I sign a closing statement for someone who is out of state, and they've signed the deed, the seller signs the deed and everything, but occasionally they sign an authorization for me to sign other things for them at the last minute instead of them having to come into the state to sign. I sign as attorney in fact, right?
And notice it's attorney in fact, not attorney at law.
Right.
The attorney at law is your representative before the courts and legal matters. Attorney in fact is with regard to a fact situation. It can be very limited, a one-time thing, such as what you're mentioning, or it can be, as we're talking about the Power of Attorney Act, much broader, to do one or all kinds of business matters.
Do you know, I have been in the situation a couple of times to where people have signed, giving me authority to sign a paper for them?
Yes. That's always a issue that people get confused about, is, well, isn't that forgery? No, it's not. Forgery is where you sign someone else's name without authorization.
Right.
Now, if that person authorizes you to sign your name, that's not forgery. that's giving them really a power of attorney. The issue is, how do you prove that authorization?
Well, I sign their name by my name.
A lot of times you do that to show, and you do that to show that the signature doesn't match.
Right.
Because obviously if you tried to sign my name, the signatures wouldn't match.
There's been a handful of times to where I refused to sign for someone, and they didn't like it. But I found out through the transaction that they were not as forthright and honest as I felt comfortable with, and they wanted me to sign a form for them and at closing. So you have the right to refuse to sign for someone, right?
Sure you can. But if you are going to do that, I would strongly recommend, Becky, that you have something in writing actually signed by them with a notarization where they're at, saying that I authorize Becky Ivins to sign my name on this particular paper for me and in my stead, and make it very specific, but also make it very clear.
But ask the person that's signing your name if they are willing to do that, because if I find somebody that's less than honest, I'm not signing for them.
And you really shouldn't sign for another person, because that can create liability for you.
Well, I mean,
you're going beyond your authorization, and so that can create personal liability, and
right.
You certainly don't want to involve yourself, especially if they're in some kind of a dishonest transaction, because then there can be a conspiracy, and a conspiracy is where you agree with someone else to be a part of it. You don't even have to know all of the transaction to be involved in a conspiracy.
True. I'm going to have you do a special little form for me, because the title company is not does not provide that good of a form. It basically says, Becky Ivins or one of her licensed realtors on her team may sign this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, that was this week, and I was going, no, that's not going to happen.
Yes, and that can be scary.
Well, it's scary on my behalf, because yes. I don't want to accept that responsibility. It needs to be very specific to what I'm to sign.
It'll continue to frighten you, because you will wonder for a long time as to whether that was appropriate, or is that going to come back to haunt you? Yes, Mark is laughing. There's my best joke.
I know, yeah. Now, with this Power of Attorney Act, was this a reaction to problems? Because from what I see, it's like sweeping across the nation. There's a lot of states who are doing this. But it sounds like it's caused more confusion here in Oklahoma as far as, like, what does it cover? Is it a reaction to something?
I can't answer that question. The estate probate, estate planning probate and trust committee was not informed about it and did not input in it. Usually they ask us our input.
Yeah.
And we'll give our two cents. This came out, and I'm not going to criticize too much, but just note that a lot of states are adopting uniform laws to make things uniform across the nation, so every state doesn't have something different. But why this now, I don't know the answer to that question yet, and I'm less concerned about that than I am. So what does this mean, and
so
what are we
going to
do
with
it? Yeah. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with it? Because it will go into effect November 1.
Well, we have a couple minutes left. Let's go on to something else that's scary.
Other scary things. You remember we talked about transfer on death deeds, where a person signs a deed that allows a death property to be transferred. One of the questions that came up the other day is, what if you file it in the wrong county? You own the property, but it turns out the property is in Cleveland County, not in Oklahoma County. Well, the statute provides that the transfer on death deed is to be filed in the county where the real estate is located. So although we don't have a case on this yet, we do have this idea that would invalidate the transfer on death deed with regard to that property if that property was in a county other than the county where the transfer on death deed was filed. So you have to be careful about that. That can be scary, especially, you know, Oklahoma City gets into Cleveland County, Oklahoma County, Canadian County, Pottawatomie County, Logan County, et cetera. So that's an issue. Another issue that came up when creating a will, and if you're going to list children, you want to list all your children even the ones your significant other or spouse doesn't know about, because you can have a forgotten heir, a forgotten child that can come back and claim an intestate share of your estate. That even works if you have a handwritten or holographic will, and we've talked about using that before. If you don't specifically list those kids, a child can come back and say, hey, Dad forgot me, or Mom forgot me, and claim an intestate share of it, and maybe you didn't want that. So you will want to certainly be aware of that. It doesn't apply to trusts. Trusts are a different thing. But in wills, you have to take care of forgotten heirs so you don't run into an issue. And that's a whole topic.
Can you just kind of lump them all together, any unknown children?
That doesn't quite work, but you want to have that there. And the reason why is because you're going to be gone, so the courts are going to have to interpret this, and they're going to have to decide whether that this was a forgotten heir, we call it pretermitted heirs.
This is going to be a bigger issue over the years, I think, because we have a family friend who they did one of those DNA, and all of a sudden here's down the line, half brother, half sister pop in, on the DNA is showing, all the little family history stories are coming out. Is that going to affect this?
Well, it does affect that. And you've seen that even with, the pop star Prince. You know, mm-hmm. We had a lot of people who showed up and said, hey, he was my daddy.
Yeah.
And they went through DNA tests to take care of that. But that gets into another thing, is that a child who's adopted can inherit not only from the parents that adopted them, but also from their natural parents in Oklahoma. So they could be forgotten heirs. So if you had a situation where a child was adopted away from you when you were younger, perhaps, that child can come back to, should I say, haunt you? Now, that's too easy. Come back to claim an inheritance.
Claim an inheritance.
Yeah.
Well, and now that's just a whole lot of stuff to open up there.
Yeah.
On that, it's not really forgotten, because most of the time if someone adopts a child out, they think about that child every day. So it's not so much forgotten as unknown.
Yeah.
Well, it's there, and according to Oklahoma law, the adopted child can inherit from both. Now, the natural parent that adopted the child away cannot inherit from the child that they gave up for adoption. It doesn't work the reverse, but the child can come back to the natural parent.
How about if they did not willfully do this and parental rights were terminated?
That's where you get into a different issue if you've got the termination issue, then you're going to have a good question about that, except still they can inherit if they're adopted.
Boy, these are critical things that really take effect so much of our lives. You don't want to miss what we are talking about next when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I love the music, Mike. It's so great. Thanks for doing that. We're talking with Ron Shalott about scary things that are happening with the law. What else is happening?
Well, we talked a little bit about listing all children in the will and taking care of that. But that kind of gets back to the predicate to that, which is have a will. Because without a will, you can have unintended distributions. And I'll tell you, I've had a couple matters the last 2 months now that are scary in the sense of, well, there's no will, they're dying, and there's blended families or mixed families, or some of the kids are just not really worth, they haven't talked to them in decades, but yet they could inherit. So you want to look at that and have that planned out, because you don't want what you've worked for going to someone who's going to misuse misuse of the funds or the property, or even to a distant relative who you've never met or hasn't seen in a long time, who's not worthy of the fruits of your hard-earned labor. So you do want to have that estate plan, that will, or that trust, and take care of those kind of things. Otherwise, the results can be quite frightening.
Now, what else happens this weekend?
It's the Parade of Homes.
The Fall Parade of Homes, put on by the Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association, and that's from 1 to 7. And next weekend, it's today and tomorrow, and then next weekend also, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 7, the Fall Parade booklets, which are like a very nice magazine, can be picked up at...
On Cue gas station.
Yep.
Any of the On Cue gas stations, they should have it up front. It's free. Go by, pick it up, and go see the Parade of Homes.
Yeah. So lots happening this weekend.
Great weekend.
And next weekend for the parade. But hope to see you guys out at the Second Half Expo today.
Yeah, there's over 100 exhibitors there.
I know. And good ones.
Mm-hmm.
These, I mean, if you have any questions about law, long-term care insurance, retirement communities,
just anything having to do like
what do you do with your pets when you go to retirement living? There's those folks out there to answer that as well.
Right.
So be sure and go and talk about that. We had to deal with that with one of our clients this week.
Yeah.
But we luckily found a place for two little poodles that have been together for 9 years, so we didn't want to separate them. So
separate your poodles.
So part of our downsizing program now, first time I've included this, is pet adoption, because you can't take them to retirement communities.
Well, people do create now pet trusts.
Oh, my gosh.
A trust created, a special trust created to take care of their pets if they pass away or if they go somewhere else, if they go to retirement community, pet goes somewhere else, set up a trust to fund the care of your pet. So
wow.
That's something that is out there. It's kind of a hot deal, you know, because people love their pets.
Well, they do. And if it's a true pet, they do love their pets.
They do.
A caller called in, Ron, and asked about POD.
Pay on death. Which is a beneficiary clause in some kind of contract, whether it's a bank account, insurance, that kind of thing. Upon death, it pays. And to whom does it pay? And that's what that's for, is to specifically state where does that go upon death. That overrides any power of attorney. It overrides a will. It overrides anything because it's a specific contract. Different than our transfer and death deed, TODD, which is where you have a specific interest that will go about in the future. A transfer and death deed can relate to a real property, to mineral interest, and even now vehicles. You can do a transfer and death deed for a vehicle. In fact, there's just a new, as of October, a new protocol for the Oklahoma Tax Commission on transfer and death notices, how to transfer a vehicle on death. You file a form with the Tax Commission to do that. That form's available through the Tax Commission website. That's something that's relatively new.
Well, we've just got about a minute left. Is there one more scary thing you want to tell us about?
Cryptocurrency. That's very scary. You're going to have to learn about it because it is the currency. It looks like going to be the currency of the future, and eventually we're going to have that with home sales as well as other transactions. But yet, to get back to where we were at the beginning, the new Uniform Power of Attorney Act goes into effect November 1, so be aware and beware.
Well, if you need to get a hold of Ron Shalhot, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and Ron Shalhot's contact information is right there. His website is OKCityLawyer.com. As always, Ron Shalhot, just fantastic. Thanks for being with us. And thank you, listener, for being a part of the program. If you want to send this to someone, go to wherever you subscribe podcasts. Google Becky Ivins, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It'll pop up. Hit subscribe and share. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.